Welcome to a St. Thomas show. This is Arrow. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Greetings, salutations. This is a St. Thomas show. My mission is to participate in human experience that together we are creating a new earth in peace. I am here now. You can call me Arrow. I am here to teach, protect, continue the integrity of my brother's work. 2,000-ish years ago, my twin brother was called Emmanuel, or as I like to call him, Yeshua. You might have learned him as Jesus. The dark tortured and killed my brother and our friends. They were all hung on poles, not crosses, in the middle of town, making a statement to the people. The statement that they wanted to make is that this is what happens if you follow these guys. The dark continued to rule this planet. They created religions, all organized religions. They called my brother Jesus, and they wrote an entire belief system around him. Other belief systems were also written. All belief systems that direct you to worship something outside of yourself is false. The truth is, and this is my truth, you can take it or leave it. This is where you get to choose. If what I'm saying is resonating in your heart, then use it. If it does not, just leave it. Everything is your choice. I am here to deliver truth and light as I know it. I have no proof. The proof is in the heart. You will resonate or you will not. Take it or leave it. The truth is, Source God is within us. Source God is not in the stars. The guy or the guys in the stars are dark God aliens that raised us and fed off us like cattle. They are scared of us knowing who we are. 2,000-ish years ago, three light ambassadors from Source came to Earth in the body of Yeshua. Today, the human body has been dimmed down so far that one body cannot hold three light beings. When they tortured and killed my brother and our friends, they knew we would return in 2,000-ish years. And they have been preparing ever since. They've engineered these bodies and dimmed them down so that it would hold the least amount of light that we could possibly hold and still exist. So this 2000 ascension cycle, we each entered this dimension, this space and time dimension. We exploded into thousands of bodies. Literally, there are thousands of Jesuses here now. Some have been captured, some destroyed, but the light has assisted us into a higher frequency than ever before. This is our ascension. We are here now. Oh, this is... It was easy to write the truth, but I know how shocking all of this information was for me. I came here, born in a human vessel, with all the DNA that everyone else has, so that I could experience what everyone here is experiencing. I came in with no memory. I had to be awoken. I had to be activated. And just waking up to some of these truths was hard to chew on. Some of it's really hard to digest. part of me feels sorry that I'm here to be the deliverer of this message. But then, you know, I don't know who better. My heart loves you. I love you. And this is the truth. The truth is shocking. It shakes the ground we stand on. It disintegrates everything we think we know. It disintegrates our beliefs, our faith. The thing that I would really, really, I want to ask you, as the truth comes out, the world around us is going to unfold. It's turning upside down. And I'm just asking you to remember one thing as all this information unfolds, all these horrific truths come out. As you learn the horrific truth of what has happened, remember, it is over. It's over. The war's been won. The children have been rescued. The dark, the enemy, has been and is convicted and held accountable. There have been tribunals that have already happened. These will come out. You will see these. You will see the dark being held accountable for their crimes against humanity, for their crimes against our mother planet, for crimes against the living creatures on this planet. We will look back at this time and we will refer to it like this. The great event from 2017 to 2027. Human spiritual victory. Light won. We will look back and we will refer to this as the great event. But we have won the war. It is over. The children have been rescued. And the dark has been held accountable. So this show is about what do we do now? I mean, holy crap, right? Holy crap. What do we do now? So we're gonna celebrate and live in peace. We act from our heart's inspiration, our passions, our greatest joys. We call in more of our light body energy now, and we are creating new earth. I'm going to go a little backwards. I thought I was going to start with my name, St. Thomas. I'm not. I'm going to go straight to the celebration. This is it. I am celebrating. The war has been won. I want to talk about the word apocalypse. Apocalypse has a couple of definitions. It really floored me when I found the Greek definition of apocalypse. Well, we've been trained that the English definition is the end of the world. I went around and I started asking people. I asked all my Christian sisters and brothers. I also went out in the world and asked others of other faiths, other religions, of people who had no faith and no religion. I asked them what they thought the apocalypse, what was the definition? And to my surprise, it was 9 out of 10 people would say the end of the world. And they would stop right there. Now, I'm going to back this false definition, this narrative here going on. On the computer, you can get on a website. It's called dictionary.cambridge.org. And I have a little star here because I'm going to come back to that. Dictionary.cambridge.org. It says that apocalypse is a noun. It's an event. And this is their definition, a very serious event resulting great destruction and change. And then they use apocalypse in a sentence. this spooky, spooky, spooky sentence here. This is the sentence that they give us as an example. The book offers a vision of the future in which there is a great nuclear apocalypse. Okay, and then they say, the apocalypse in the Bible, the total destruction and the end of the world. Okay, this, the truth here is that this is a narrative given to us by the dark, by the enemy. This definition, this concept, it instills fear as we anticipate the coming of this event. We don't even want this event to come forward when we're in that kind of concept, when we believe it's going to be the end of the world. We're not really looking forward to that. That was a narrative created for us. Thank you very much. And my star here, my star says, you know, this is a narrative given to us by the dark. So I'd just like to point out, it's pretty obvious what side of the fence Cambridge is on. Okay, so let's clear this up a little bit. For my whole show, my whole being here, we need to change the truth about this. The apocalypse, the English definition, the noun, it's the end of the world of darkness. Now, who doesn't want that? The end of the world of darkness. If this is the definition of apocalypse, isn't that what we're all longing for? We're all longing for paradise. The end of the world of darkness. And that's why we are here celebrating. It's like part of me is, you know, I'm really sad that I got to bring the information to you and rock your world upside down, but I can't help it. I can't help it. The joy, the ecstasy, the celebrating. It's here. We're here. Here's, let's get a hold of the Greek definition. The Greek definition is a verb. It's a verb. It's an action word. The Greek definition of apocalypse is to uncover, to reveal, to disclose. This is the revealing of the truth. The truth shall set you free. When we wake up to this definition, we can fill up with excitement. We are excited about the apocalypse. We are anticipating the apocalypse. We are all longing for the end of the world of darkness. And now we are celebrating. The apocalypse has already happened. The truth has already been told. The truth has been revealed, and we are celebrating. My brother Q is, we'll get into that further. There was a man that showed up without a name. And the guy that was interviewing him said, well, I have to call you something. And he said, call me Q. So he says, he's here now with us. He's one of the thousands of, now, he's one of the three light columns that was in the body of Yeshua. One of the thousands of us, thousands and thousands of us here. He was celebrating and calling it the Jubilee in one of his shows. I haven't been able to find the archive show to get the date on when he said he was celebrating the Jubilee. That is when they removed enough darkness from this planet that there was no stopping. There was no stopping our ascension. So let's cover St. Thomas a little bit here. St. Thomas. So there never was anyone called Thomas. They took an Aramaic word. I'm not sure of the pronunciation here. Teome, I'm going to spell it. It's T-E apostrophe O-M-A. It means the twin. Some know that the Greek word Didymus or Didymos also meaning twin. They took these words and translated it into Thomas, created a saint, again, to mislead and deceive, to hide the existence of a twin. St. Thomas was then used for more deception and control. There's several stories with Thomas. I'm going to cover a couple of the Thomas stories here. You know, some of the, I'm going to throw the Star Wars analogy in here. A lot of us Q trainers, we know that the Star Wars documentary, at least the first or the first first and second movies, are documentaries. Luke came to restore order to the universe. And there's a scene, you know, Luke was training with Yoda. And then he got this intuition that his friends were in trouble. And he left his training early, even though his teachers, Obi-Wan and Yoda, both, man, they were pretty insistent for him not to go. You got to finish your training. But he leaves. And then there's a scene with Obi-Wan and Yoda. And Obi-Wan goes, "He is our last hope." And then that cute little guy, Yoda, I love that guy. He says, "There is one other." And then the movie discloses that Luke has a twin sister. We know her as Princess Leia. And they kept it a secret. So here we are, bringing out the secret. Yeshua has a twin sister. The light in the body of the twin is the same light that's in this body, this vessel. I'm in a human vessel. And I share the same light column that was here in the twin sister. Now, when my light came into this dimension this time, it was thrown into thousands of bodies. Some have been destroyed. Some have been captured. I know a couple of them. I know a couple ladies that actually could be standing in my shoes today. But they didn't make it. I'm just the one that made it. I'm here now. Most famous for Thomas was the Doubting Thomas story. And last spring, when I first booked a time slot for this show, I mentioned to a Christian brother the name of my show. I think I was calling it the Doubting Thomas Show because, you know, I mean, this was a big chunk for me to chew on. And I had a lot of self-doubt. So I was calling myself Doubting Thomas just because I related to the doubting part of that. And I said to this wonderful, beautiful Christian man, I'm going to be the St. Thomas, Doubting Thomas Show. And he exclaimed, "Oh my gosh, why would you want to be Thomas? He doubted Jesus." Well, okay, immediately we're going to put a stop to that. Thomas did not doubt Jesus. He did not. So after he was tortured, the body destroyed, it appeared Yeshua was dead. Of course, there's no such thing as death. That's just a lie again. Again, major lies. There's no such thing as death. We are all eternal beings. Our light, our spirit is eternal. They use this deception of death to recycle us. We die, we come back. We die, we come back. We die, we come back. And really the only purpose in that is that after a while, like I'm just going to throw out 100 years. That's not technically accurate maybe there. But after 100 years, they've disabled my abilities. I came in this time with all the abilities of Yeshua. We all do. We all have all the abilities of Yeshua. But we come in here and they wipe our memories. And then they start disabling, you know, we have implants. We just get all of our abilities. We're disabled. And the thing is that we are so powerful. Our source, God, is within us. We are gods and goddesses. They do not want us to know this because we are more powerful than them. And what happens is at a certain age, we start out growing those restrictions. We will start getting all of our abilities back. We grow beyond their technology. So they have to convince us. We've been convinced that we grow old and die. This whole time construct. Time is a construct. There was no time when we were dinosaurs walking around in paradise. There was no time. This planet was hijacked by dark aliens. They murdered the dinosaurs. They took over the planet. Eventually, they constructed a thing called time. So that every year goes around, we grow older and we die. And then they recycle us and they reboot us. And they put all their disabling functions back in us again. So this is it. This is our ascension. We outgrow this. There will be no more time. We are back in paradise. The new earth is here. We are waking up to it. We're already on it. It's already here. We are waking up. And we are going to find our heart's passions, our heart's desires, our heart's inspirations. And when we start living from that, we create the beauty that we will know again. So when my friends come back and they say, hey, man, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Now, again, they never said that because he was not named Jesus. It was Emmanuel, Yeshua. He's alive. And you know, I would do the same thing today that I did back then. I would say to my friends, hey man, you know, I really love you guys. I love you. I love you to pieces. But what you're telling me is really outlandish. It's really a little difficult to believe. You know what? I'm going to have to see this for myself. I'm going to have to see this with my own eyes. I'm going to have to touch my brother to know. I'd do the same thing today if, you know, if I had all my friends come and tell me something so outlandish. I'd want the proof. I'd want to see it. I'd want to touch it. So then after Thomas and Yeshua unite, which I'll go back to the word Jesus because we're talking about the narrative here that's written around the twin, written around St. Thomas, the story, the made up story. Then they throw this in there. And they give this quote to the man that they're calling Jesus. He supposedly says, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So this is an agenda of the dark. To make one guilty for not believing. You are criticized for not believing without having any proof. You're just supposed to believe. And oh, shucksy darn, if you don't, you're not blessed. Because blessed are those that just believe, just have faith, just believe. It's their whole bank of the whole thing. And it's all developed around here. Thomas, who never existed. Again, this is a great place for me to mention. I am not here for you to believe me. I'm not here for you to believe me. I'm not looking for any beliefs. I'm looking for knowledge. You will know me in your heart, or you will not. You will resonate with what I'm saying in your heart, or you won't. take what you can use and leave the rest. I'm not here to convince anybody of anything. I'm here to share me and my experiences as I am remembering and knowing who I am. I came here just like you. I had no memories when I came in. I did have some abilities. They told me I had imaginary friends. So I quit talking to them if other people were around, because it appeared nobody else knew they were there. And they told me they're imaginary and they're not real. I've been reacquainted with those imaginary friends. I call them my team. I came here to Prison Planet with a team. I'm the one that got the golden ticket. I got the body, which is incredible. This is an incredible thing, feeling, seeing, touching, tasting, smelling. It's a great, great place. It's a great, great honor and opportunity that I get to experience in this body on a place that we call NP3D, Earth. It is negative positive. It has all possibilities. All possibilities in negative positive. And it's a 3D Earth. It's an honor to be here. And as I am remembering and knowing who I am coming forth to you to just share that. This is just me. It really is all I have. Take it or leave it. So after seeing and touching Jesus, another deception that goes along with Thomas here, they quote Thomas. So Thomas comes and he sees Jesus and he touches the wounds in the hand and he touches the wound in his side and he exclaims, "Oh, my Lord and my God." Now, this ain't real, man. This is the dark agenda here. They use these five words, my Lord and my God. And then they create this whole narrative around that. And they say that Jesus accepted worship right then and there. See, there's some other story, part of the book, where Peter and Paul were, somebody tried to worship them and they redirected. They said, no, you don't worship us, you worship God. And they redirected the worship. Now, in this story with Thomas, the dark, they claim that just because Jesus did not correct Thomas, that implies that the title is appropriate. I mean, that's their whole claim to fame, that Jesus is God, is the fact that Thomas said, "Oh, my Lord and God." And because Jesus didn't correct him, then it must be true, which you will learn as you start learning how the dark has hijacked this entire planet and everything we know. You will see that they didn't have our permission, but because we didn't know what was going on, we're being tricked. We didn't stand up and say, "Hey, you can't do that to us." So because we didn't stand up and say, "Hey, you can't do that to us," the dark says, "Hey, well, you know, it must be okay then. It must be okay." They didn't stop us. They didn't say no. Of course, did we even know? We didn't know what was going on. We've been tricked. The dark is very intelligent, had technologies we couldn't even fathom. And they've created these cages, this prison planet, to cage infinite light beings, infinite with all possibilities. And they've figured out a way to put us in a cage and call it Prison Planet. Now, we know this is a lie. My brother Yeshua never accepted any worship. It would make no sense to him. because he sees us as his equal. And I'll, we've got some, I have some other quotes and information where we're going to further talk about how we're equal. We are equal to Yeshua. And the last two verses in John, this is, of course, I'm not given chapters and verses. There's a lot of divine holy writing that's in the text, but in duality, there is both good and bad, good, evil, light, dark, truth, deception, heaven, hell. It's duality. So again, back to Thomas, part of the deception going on here. The last two verses of John, it is 20, 30, and 31, spell out exactly what's going on here. I mean, this is the dark's agenda, and it is spelled out in these two verses. This is the Gospel of John's purpose statement. They use these two lines and call it John's purpose statement. It explains exactly what's going on. So this is the quote. Well, in English anyway. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So right here, they're telling you that they wrote this. They wrote this with purpose. They wrote this with purpose to get you to believe that Jesus was God, something outside of us to worship, to believe in, to call on, to use his name, yada, 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 yada. And that's the purpose of the gospel, is to inspire belief in Jesus as Messiah. Yeshua would never accept this. Yeshua would not let you worship him because you are his equal. I'm going to give a couple of quotes here. So Yeshua had three light columns. When I started listening to the man without a name, the interviewer was calling him Q. He explained that there was three light columns in the body of Yeshua. He referred to them as himself, Ron, Amatron, and Princess Diana. Now, we know these human vessels, these three human vessels with the light columns of Yeshua. Again, I'm going to remind you that these light columns came in thousands of bodies. Thousands of bodies. I would like to talk about those individuals. Princess Diana was born to bring down the royal family, the evil entities within that structure. I'm not saying they all are. I'm saying that there was an evil entities within that structure, and she infiltrated it and did her work there. She succeeded before her body was destroyed. Her spirit lives on. Ron Amatron has a lot of videos and teachings. He has a website. He is on Creation Lightship. He is not here on the earth in the body, the vessel I'm calling Ron Amatron. Might have left this dimension, but he is still working on Creation Lightship. You can find his healings. He was the healer in the body of Yeshua. And you can find his healings on Lightship, website, creationlightship.com. There are free clearings There's a lot of free clearings. There's a lot that they will ask for minimal fees. All of the healings on the website have been protected and coded by light beings. There's a lot of work that's been gone on there to keep them authentic, to maintain them, and to maintain the integrity, to maintain the healing of them. It has taken a lot, and they could use all funds. I know for me, I subscribe to a weekly newsletter. And in that weekly newsletter, there's a lot of quotes from Ron Amatron. They offer his videos, recordings. There's recordings of shows that he does that have healings in them. And you can listen to all of those free, all of the archived recordings of Ron Amatron and all his teachings. He does a lot of clearings. That's probably a more proper word. Instead of healing, I will now refer to that as clearings. Because what he's doing is he's clearing out the densities. The densities. We are whole. We are light beings. We are created whole and beautiful without darkness. The darkness has been inflicted upon us here in Prison Planet. It's a dense planet. Darkness is density. And the clearings removes the darkness. It removes the densities. CreationLightShip.com. Here's a quote from Ron Amatron. This is the teachings of Jesus. Is to get inside of yourself. Get your guidance from your heart center. And not to go outside. Not to connect to energy that you know nothing about. That might sound good to you. Because your only safeguard that you actually have. Okay. Because your only safeguard that you actually have here is going to your own spirit. And your spirit only connects with you in your heart center. It does not connect inside your head. And unfortunately, most people think their guidance is in their head because they hear voices in their head. But your true guidance is actually that little small voice that gets kind of like trampled by the ego portion in your head. That is Ron Amatron. Here's another Ron Amatron quote. When Earth was made, it was peaceful and beautiful without destructive weather and wars. The dark brought problems and situations. Ron Amatron. Here's another quote. I do not believe I labeled this one well enough. It's forthepeople.space. For the people, all one word, .space. The dot space is important to get to the right website. I didn't label this with the article that I pulled it from. I would like to assume it was an article called Emmanuel, since it's talking about Emmanuel. I'm sorry about that. I could be mistaken on the actual article, but For the People really has lots of really good information. It's been the author's just been crazy writing for years, every week. We are so blessed with so much beautifulness coming off of forthepeople.space. So the quote I want to pull off that for you today: you are a light from source, just as Emmanuel was, imbued with the same powers and abilities as Emmanuel held, which will return once again as each being with the spirit from source releases the constructs of density which involve judgment, duality, thoughts, emotions, identity, etc. These block light and hinder spiritual powers. And this is what the ascension is for. The ascension comes every 2,000 years when the light ship returns to bring all light home. And light, when it says all light is spirits created by source. So that's what we're doing here today. There's a lot of Q trainers. We've studied and trained under a human vessel that we're referring to as Q. He showed up to us without a name. We refer to him as Q. We call ourselves Q trainers. We've been on the Q train. Choo-choo, the Q train. And we're just looking for all the light particles that are ready to come home. We're creating the new paradise. Turn that little light on inside your heart. Some of you are still hiding in the dark, and we can't see you. Light beings only see light. And we need to see your light, because that's what we're doing here. We're calling all light particles home. Holy, holy, income free. Holy, holy, income free. Holy, holy, income free. Turn that little light on, please. We'd like to see you. We want you to come back home. We all want to be joined together as one, the one that we are. We've been fragmented for too long. So the other thing for my story, my experience, like I said, I came just like you and me. I came in with no memory. I didn't remember before I was born. They knew we were here. They targeted my family. It doesn't matter. Torture, abuse, none of that matters. I'm here. It's just the fact is there's thousands of us. Some of us didn't make it. But enough has raised the frequency of this planet to a higher frequency than it has ever been before. If you look up into the sky and notice the blue, look at the blue. I'm asking you, is it more brilliant blue than it's ever been? Or what do you think about it? Look at that sky. I've been a sky gazer all of my life. And matter of fact, this is a good story for me. When I was like five, I don't know, kindergarten, first grade, and my uncles, they're like older brothers, and they taught me, when I see the first star in the sky, they taught me starlight, star bright, the first star I see tonight, I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. I remember the yard, I remember the house I lived in, I remember the yard I stood in, where I looked at stars often. And they taught me that, and I wished for something trivial like ice cream or something. I don't even remember, but I remember when I went to bed that night, I thought about it. And see, they told me don't tell anybody, right? You make a wish and you don't tell anybody or it will jinx it and it won't come true. So I didn't tell anybody what my wish was. But I thought when I was laying there in bed, I thought, wow, I really wasted my wish. I was probably a smart cookie already, five or six. I knew I wasted my wish. And so I decided I'm not going to waste it again. And the next time I get an opportunity to make a wish, it's gonna be a good one. You know what I came up with? Five or six. I already knew. I knew my mission here. I wished for peace on earth. I don't even know, as an adult, I look back at that, because from that point on, that's what I always wished for. Every single star, and I watched the sky all the time. Every time I got the first star, I'd sing it. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. Wish I may, wish I might, have this wish I wish tonight. And then I just wish with everything in me, peace on earth, peace on earth. And as an adult, I don't even know, like, how did I know what that even meant? I don't know. It was the 60s. There was a war going on, but there wasn't in my house any comprehension of a war going on. I have military in my family, but nobody was actually fighting in that particular war, and they were not in my house talking about it. I do know that my uncles did teach me a peace sign, but I don't really remember how I equated peace on earth. But I wished for it from then on. Even wishing wells, I lived in a tourist area, and a lot of the tourist areas had little water fountains where you throw your coins in and make a wish. And I would wish for peace on earth every single time. Really, because I did know in my heart who I was. I just didn't remember. And so part of my remembering started, there's a couple of different points in my life I can see activation. This person that we're referring to as Q, he has a light column in his body that was in Yeshua. Well, that light column was also in one of my uncles that was there teaching me laughter, teasing me, picking on me. He'd pick me up by my ankles, throw me over his shoulder upside down, call me a sack of potatoes. But it was always laughter and it was always fun. He'd poke me in the ribs and tickle me. He even played a trick on me. Well, his ashes were buried in the ground. And actually, that was one of my connections, how I connected the light of Q in that body. My uncle Stu was cremated and buried in the VA cemetery. I have a grandpa and another uncle there. And then my parents got buried there. My dad that raised me was a Marine, and him and my mom passed at 28 days apart. And they were buried in the same hole on the same day. January 17th was the day we put them in the ground. That number had meant something to me since I was 21 years old. And because of the chaos of the day and everything I was going through emotionally, I just didn't even realize the date until it was all over. And later that night, I realized what day that was. I had to sit with that for a second because that number 117 meant something to me. But I went one day I'm a seasonal worker. I was in the area for the tourist business, and I was getting ready to leave town, and I had cleaned a batch of crystals, so I had a whole bunch of really clear, shiny crystals and beautiful, and I went out to the cemetery to say goodbye to my parents and leave them some crystals. Normally, I visit all my relatives there, but I was in a hurry that day, and I didn't have time. My Uncle Stu is down the way from my parents, and he starts talking to me. Now, I don't hear voices. I'm going to be really clear about that. My information is downloaded in an internal way somehow. It's not in English. It's more of a knowing. In order for me to tell you the story of the information given, I have to translate it into English. But as I'm at my parents' grave, I've got my uncle down the way, straight down from my parents. And he starts going, "I want crystals. I want crystals. I want crystals." And I'm like, I'll come back. And I start talking to my parents again. And then my uncle's bothering me again is, "I want crystals. I want crystals." And I'm like, if I give you crystals, I got to go see my other uncle. I got to get grandpa. I don't got time. I'm sorry. I will come back next time. Start talking to my parents again. He's on me a third time. All right. Okay. So I finished with my parents. I'm going to walk straight down. I forgot the prelude. I forgot the prelude to the story. So earlier that morning, I'm listening to this guy named Cube be interviewed on a Ted Marr show. There's a guy named Ted Marr on BBS Radio. He has a show archived, Out of This World Radio. And you can find some original interviews of Q. He even jokes, Ted jokes about he's going to interview the letter before R. And then later he calls him Q. But on that show, they were talking about a story where things go missing and get misplaced. Like if you have your keys, you always come in the house and you throw those keys right there on the kitchen table and then go about whatever. And so, you know, you come and you go to get your keys because you're leaving and they're not there. And you're like, they're not there. Oh, I always put them here. How come they're not there? And you think, oh, must be in my pocket. You know, I must have left them in the coat pocket. So you go check the coat pocket. And they're not in the coat pocket. And you think this is really weird because I always leave them on the table. So you go back to the table. They're not there. You move some things on the table. They're still not there. So now you're, you know, going crazy because you're late and your keys are always there and they're not there. And so then you go traipsing around. You look on the dresser. You check pants pockets. You do some more stuff. And you're just like, it's got to be on the table. You go back to the table. And there they are sitting there. Right there on the table. As if they were there the whole time. Now, that's a story they told on Ted Marr's show that morning that I was at the cemetery. So now let's go back to the cemetery, talking to Mom. I finally give in to my uncle, say goodbye to my parents. I walk straight down. My uncle is buried in the first row of the next square. The next square, if you've been to the VA cemetery, they're perfectly rowed. All the tombstones perfectly rowed, and my uncle's on the outer edge right down from my parents. And I go down and I look at that tombstone and it's not him. And I go to the one behind it. It's not him. I go to the one in front of it. It's not him. I come back to the one I think it is. It's not that. It's not the one after. And it's not the one before. So I start spreading down. So I go down a couple that way. Nope. I go up a couple that way. Nope. I come back to the original. Nope. I go down a few that way. I go up a few. It's like, okay, I'm in the wrong square. I'm in the wrong square. So I hike over to the next square. I look. And when I get there, there's a tree in the square. My uncle isn't buried in a square with a tree. It's got to be back where I was. And I go back there. And there he is sitting right there, just like he always was. And he starts laughing, and I can hear my uncle laughing at me just like he always has my entire life that he was alive. He was always joking with me. He was always laughing at the fun that he played on me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, right? So, and I'm thinking, you know what? This ain't going to happen again. You are not going to fool me like this again. So I go to the front of the square to find out what square he's in, because I'm going to memorize it. And this is never going to happen to me again. And the letter attached to the square of tombstones is Q. Now, I didn't quite realize at the moment that the light source in the body of Q is also the light source in the body of my uncle. But I did get that my uncle approved of this guy that I just started listening to. This was the beginning for me. I had just for the first time started listening to these interviews on Ted's show. And this was just kind of a little sign for me, since they were just telling the story about missing keys, even though they were there the whole time. And then my uncle plays his little joke and he's in the plot of Q. So I just got the affirmation that day that I was right on track. There must be something about this Q guy. And I further got learning and training. This was the beginning for me of remembering. This was the beginning for me of knowing who I am. I've been on a Q train, training as a transition specialist. There are many of us. Many, many have been listening. Q said he was one of the three light columns in the body of Yeshua. He said we were all gods and goddesses. We are the creators of our reality. We are all equal to Yeshua. Some of our abilities have been disabled or limited. We will get all of our abilities back. We are unlimited. We can do anything. We can be anything. This is our ascension. I love you. I love you. I am here to call all light particles home. This is our moment to shine. This show, A St. Thomas Show, will air every other Sunday at noon Central. I do have a sister show. It's a twin show. Imagine, twin. Next Sunday at noon Central, the other show, the twin show to this, is Project Review with Q and Arrow. We have put out a call on that show to accept 1 million humanitarian projects. We have an email. We want you to keep them short, 3 pages or less. The first initial idea is just to get them in our sandbox, just to get them to us. Just make it brief and short. If we need a larger format, at some point when it's completed, you can come onto the show and throw your inspiration, your passion, your project. You can throw it out over the air if you need help, if you want to call people in to show up and collaborate with you. Maybe you have a finished project. Q started accepting projects years ago, and there's some people that already have finished projects. And I would love to showcase those projects on the project show. Project Review with Q&A will be projects. We want to share with all the people all of the wonderful things that everybody is creating with passion and great excitement. And we all want to join in and collaborate and dance and sing and be the shining force that we are. I love you. This is Arrow signing out until we join together again. Thank you.